Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. About 40 years ago, President Ronald Reagan took bold steps to protect a storied U.S. manufacturing company from foreign competitors. At the time, challenges in international trade, specifically how to deal with a flood of Japanese car and motorcycle imports, was a serious problem. So, in 1983, he ordered massive tariffs on large Japanese motorcycles to help the last surviving maker of American-made motorcycles, Harley-Davidson Motor Company in Milwaukee. Harley's chairman at the time, Von Beals, said, "The president's courageous action demonstrates his support for the concept that free trade must also be fair trade." So in today's podcast, we'll focus on the president's decision to help Harley-Davidson and why. Sadly, in 2018, Harley officials moved production of bikes destined for the growing European Union market from the Wisconsin Rust Belt to the company's international factories to avoid, yes, 31% tariffs. Harley shifted some manufacturing overseas in response to the raising of trade barriers on both sides of the Atlantic. Would Reagan have allowed that? Well, we can't answer that question, but we can talk about our 40th president's ideas. Back in 1981, the president was impressed by Harley-Davidson's earnest attempt to reorganize and reduce costs. They launched an ambitious strategy to turn the company around. They shrunk the workforce, improved quality, and then they reached out to the International Trade Commission for help with foreign competition. For a further boost, the president imposed tariff increases of 45% in the first year, declining to 35, 20, 15, and 10% above scheduled rates in subsequent years. After 3 years of tariff assistance, Harley-Davidson was able to recover fully and told the president they no longer needed additional assistance from the government. So, 35 years ago, he celebrated their success and visited their facility. Let's listen to these remarks.
Well, after being shown around this plant, it seems to me I've come to hog heaven. One thing's for sure, when it comes to motorcycles, this is the home of the All-American A-Team. Of course, that's not what a lot of people were saying about you just a few years ago. Some people said that you couldn't make the grade. They said you couldn't keep up with foreign competition. They said that Harley-Davidson was running out of gas and sputtering to a stop. Well, the people who say that American workers and American companies can't compete are making one of the oldest mistakes in the world. They're betting against America itself, and that's a bet no one will ever win. You know, those people who place their bets on someone other than you is a little bit like the fellow that was going to the races. And for 3 nights, he dreamed of the number 5. So when he got to the track, he opened a program to the 5th race, and he looked down to the number 5 horse. And the horse's name was 5x5. Well, that did it. He bet the whole bundle on that horse, number 5 in the 5th race. And the horse came in 5th. Well, while others may bet on horses, I'll put my bet on you and on America. And that was what we did 4 years ago. You asked us to give you breathing room so you could finish getting into shape to meet unexpectedly strong foreign competition. It was like giving a boxer a few extra weeks of training before a fight. We looked at you carefully. We asked, is Harley-Davidson really serious about getting into shape? And the answer came back a resounding yes. Harley was hard at work with new products and finding better ways to make better bikes. And Harley's shape-up was not relying just on the top management. Everyone from the boardroom to the factory floor was involved. No matter how we looked at it, we could see that everyone at Harley-Davidson was serious about getting into fighting shape. So when I was told that you wanted a little more time to train, I said, yes, kick on the engine, Harley, and turn on your thunder.
Harley didn't just rely on the tariffs for success. They had a serious strategy. So here's the plan. Let's listen.
And that's just what you did. You cut the hours of work needed to make a motorcycle by one-third. You cut inventory by two-thirds. You tripled the number of defect-free machines you shipped. And with productivity up, you kept price increases small and on some bikes even lowered prices. You expanded your product line from 3 models 10 years ago to 24 today and once again became a leader in developing new motorcycle technology. And each year, on virtually every continent of the earth, you're selling more and more bikes compared to your competition. You're the only major motorcycle manufacturer in the world to have increased production last year. Like America, Harley is back and standing tall. Last weekend, I read a statement by Harry Smith, the president of Local 175 of the International Association of Machinists, he said, the tariffs helped to slow up the imports, and that helped us. But the backbone of our comeback as a company is our people here. They have a lot of skill and craftsmanship, and they went through a lot of hardship to get the company where it is today. Well, this is what we need to ensure a more competitive future for America. And this is precisely what I was talking about when I called for a quest for excellence in my State of the Union address.
More about free trade or not, directly from our 40th president, after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. In 1986, the president wanted to be clear.
There is one issue in which almost all responsible economists, whatever their political persuasion, are unanimous. They agree that free and fair trade brings growth and opportunity and creates jobs. And they all warn that high trade barriers, what is often called protectionism, undermines economic growth and destroys jobs. I don't call it protectionism, I call it destructionism.
In a radio address and kind of a report card to the nation in July 1987, 35 years ago, he made a sincere effort to communicate his strategy and success to the American people.
My fellow Americans, we are now in our 56th month of economic growth, close to the longest peacetime expansion in our entire history. We've enjoyed low inflation and job creation that has captured the imagination of the world. Over 13 million jobs have come into existence. And contrary to what some critics of our administration have been suggesting, most of the jobs, over 60% of them, are in the higher paying occupations. Our country's in the middle of a great jump forward.
The impact of tariffs, regulation, and taxes on our economy is top of mind today, and was back in the 80s. Here's our 40th president's analysis.
In the last decade, our most productive citizens, the ones we depend on to carry our flag in a highly competitive world market, had their investment capital taxed away and were hamstrung by well-meaning yet often intrusive regulation. High taxes and overregulation were dragging us down. We've done our best in these last 6.5 years to turn that situation around and it's beginning to pay off. Federal tax rates are no longer increasing, draining even more resources out of the private sector into the bureaucracy. We've also kept under control the bureaucratic impulse to issue more and more regulations, mandates, and edicts telling us how to run our lives and businesses. We've done our best to free our economy and get government out of the way.
But the president, while proud of his policies, really gave credit to his heroes, the American people.
In recent months, I've visited several companies like Harley-Davidson in Pennsylvania and Dictaphone Corporation in Florida. The confidence of the men and women who work for these American corporations was inspiring. It reflects a mood in companies across this land. If you could meet them as I did, you'd be confident that American workers, if provided the tools and permitted to compete on a level playing field, can outproduce any rival and keep the Made in the USA label something to be proud of. Lean, fast-moving, and efficient American corporations are moving into the world market, and the latest figures suggest they are more than holding their own. In the last few months, we've seen an overall surge of American exports. In fact, from the third quarter of 1986 to the first quarter of 1987, exports were increasing at an annual rate of 14%, and imports were declining at an annual rate of almost 5%. In short, our country turned the corner on our trade deficit last fall, and the situation continues to improve. The increased competitiveness of American business, the positive adjustment that has occurred in the international exchange rates, the improvement of the economies of our trading partners, and our ongoing efforts to pry open any foreign markets closed to American goods, all of this has helped us meet the trade deficit challenge. Our idea is to open world markets and, over a 10-year period, to end the costly subsidies and price controls that are a heavy weight tied around the necks of the Western economies. Free from this burden, everyone, including the farmers, will be better off. Trade, commerce, and competition are positive forces carrying mankind to new levels of prosperity. And as usual, Americans are leading the way. Until next week, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores, and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast, featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.